Let's be honest. Some of the most shocking stories in the Bible have become all too familiar to us. Along the way, we became indifferent to their worth. Take the Battle of Jericho, a crowd of people walking around the city, blasting their horns until the walls fell down, right? Well, today on Insightful Living, Chuck Swindoll helps restore the profound implications of this shocking moment. It's a story about God's faithfulness to Israel and ultimately his faithfulness to you and me as well. Chuck called today's message, Impossible Walls Still Tumble Down.
The Apostle Paul wrote the Romans, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort from the scriptures might have hope. Chapter 15, verse 4. Paul had to have been referring to the Old Testament, what was written in earlier times in his day would certainly have fallen into that category. We have the pleasure of looking into one of the great chapters of the Old Testament together. We move from chapter 2, where the people of the Hebrews promised to protect Rahab and her family because of her willingness to hide the spies who came into the land. And then when they would invade the land, they would watch out for her safety. Well, we come in chapter 6 today to that time of invasion. And what a remarkable story it is. One of the great ones in the Old Testament. Joshua 6, I want to read for you these first 20 verses. I'll read excerpts from the section of Joshua 6. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests, give 1 long blast in the ram's horns. Have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. Verse 15. So on the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. I love that story. I love it because it is so unique. What a battle strategy. My goodness. We're going to look at it carefully and then we're going to participate in it. So clear your throats. By the way, this is a good moment for you to pause and picture in your mind whatever impossibility you're facing or you're living with. I'll be talking about that especially today.
You're listening to Insightful Living. To dig deeper into the book of Joshua with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightfulliving.org.uk. And now, the message from Chuck that's called Impossible Walls Still Tumble Down.
We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. These impossibilities run the ranks across humanity. It may be your marriage, which feels like it's completely on the rocks. You may have already made a mess of one marriage, and now your great fear is a second one. You've tried this, you've talked to this counselor, you've talked until you're blue in the face, and it seems like there's no way you can get this marriage off the rocks. It's an impossibility. In God's eyes, your marriage is your great opportunity, not an impossibility. You may be living with an addiction. It may be an addiction to prescription drugs, medications that have now been taken to extreme. You're hooked. It may be illicit drugs, maybe pornography. Any addiction is a drag and guilt. You live with it. You feel ashamed of it. You've tried and tried and tried to break it, and you can't. It's an impossibility, you think. No, your addiction is your great opportunity, not an impossibility. You may be living with a serious health issue. They're words we don't like to use, but we hear them, like stage 4. On occasion, terminal. Or even very serious. It doesn't look good. You've been treated. You've worked with physicians. You're doing your part. It's not changing. Some days it's even worse. Feels impossible for there ever to be a change. No. Your health issue is your great opportunity. Not an impossibility. Recently, I've had conversations with individuals who struggle with a self-loathing, feeling worthless, useless. You make it worse by comparing yourself with others, and you always come out on the short end. You don't measure up. You can't keep up. They seem to be the ones moving ahead, moving on in life. You're stuck. Feels impossible. No, your inner struggle is your great opportunity in God's eyes. It's not an impossibility. With Him, there are no such things. I'll say it again. With Him, there are no such things. This past week, I was having a great time in the study, digging my way through Joshua 6, and suddenly it dawned on me that these walls, talk about an impossibility. And I don't know if I had not seen the verse before or had seen it and it had slipped my mind, but almost as if for the very first time, I saw something Isaiah wrote, and I'm honest, it brought me to tears. Listen to these words. I'm not going to tell you where they're found yet, because you'll be digging around trying to find it. I want you to hear them. Just one verse. I wrote it on this little post-it, and I stuck it on my computer, and I read it all through the week, each day. So the Lord must wait for you to come to Him, so He can show you His love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for His help. Is that great or what? Okay, Isaiah 30, verse 18. You may want to just write it here in the margin of Joshua 6. Right about now, some of you are thinking, Chuck, where in the world are you going with this? This is just a little touch of Hebrew history we've got here. We've got a bunch of Hebrews that are trying to get into the land, and they face an ancient city surrounded by a wall. And what has that got to do with facing impossibilities in our lives? Everything. Everything. I'm not teaching Hebrew history as I go through Joshua 6. I'm going to give you the dimensions of this remarkable wall, and I don't care if you don't remember the dimensions. I don't care if you can't go back to an ancient map and find Jericho. This isn't a public Bible study. This is a message from God. Right from His word to you and your heart. And the walls of Jericho fit perfectly into your story. When you dig into Joshua 6, you find right away a promise appears from the Lord. Joshua, I give you Jericho. I'm giving you the city. And its strong warriors. They're yours. Now, if you were in the camp and among those Hebrews about to move into the city, however that's going to happen, all you could see is a wall. And believe me, it's intimidating. It's a double wall, thanks to John Garstang, who spent most of his life digging through the rubble of what is now known as Jericho, and down through the tell that he dug and all the excavation. He's helped us put the wall back together, a double wall. The outer wall is 6 feet thick. Inner wall is 12 feet thick, a space in between. It's a double wall with gates, solid, sealed, shut tightly. You know how tall? 30 feet tall. So look around. Pick an area that looks like 30 feet. Well, if you can't figure it out here, if you live in a two-story home like we do, you go up the second floor, you get up to the ceiling, into the attic, you're up about, soon to be 30 feet. Maybe let's say the roof line of a two-story home, 30 feet. That's the height of this solid stone wall, double wall. And if you're among the Hebrews who looked at it through human eyes, thinking about it through human strategy, all you can think of is the 13-word impossibility. 13 letters spelling the impossibility word. Not if you follow God's plan. You heard me read it. Walk around the wall. You who have military background, you were never given an instruction like this. Walk around the wall once a day. Don't say a word. Keep quiet. Do that 6 times. 7th day, blow a lot of horns. Scream, shout, stand back. I need to warn you today, watch out for the walls. You never know. You're laughing to yourself. You're thinking, what kind of a strategy is that? God's strategy. Here we go again. You see, we think of God as a lot like us, but a lot older. Who hides out in the north wind, goes as if that's God. He is nothing like us. He does things we cannot do. He thinks things we cannot think. He is above us and beyond us. He sees the end from the beginning. We don't see that. We can't see 1 moment beyond this moment. He knows what can be done. He instructs us in a plan, and it has nothing to do with human strategy. So we fight it. We're good at fighting it. Because divine plans don't make logical sense often. More often than not, they make us snicker. Walk around the wall once a day. Don't talk. Good. Go home. Go to bed. Kick back. Next day, let's do the same thing. You say, Chuck, are you sure about that? Well, you look. I've given you Jericho. You and your fighting men, verse 3, should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. It's the only weapon you've got. Each of the priests, of these 7 priests, carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, here's where it gets complicated. You walk around 7 times. The priest will now be blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give 1 long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can shout. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. End of strategy. That's it. Say, Chuck, that's terribly simplistic. I know. It's because we have the kind of brains we have. We can understand this. But we're so smart. We're so sophisticated. We're so self-contained. We've been working on our problems all our lives. Well, you haven't done very well, have you? And I haven't either. For what it's worth, Cynthia and I have an impossible situation that has been on our hearts for a long time. Nope, not going to tell you what it is, but it's impossible. It's impossible. We would like to try this or that, and we know before we even try, it's not going to work. This is capital I, impossibility. So this applies to our lives. So I'm not some preacher up here pontificating to tell you minions about how to do this. This is our issue, our set of impossibilities. And this is a guideline to follow. And he says at the end, before it ever happens, if you do what I tell you to do, the wall will collapse. I'm going to pause here and ask you a question. I want you to answer out loud. Do you believe the walls collapsed on that 7th day? Do you? Yeah, you. 8 of you believe that the walls collapsed. Once again, do you believe the walls collapsed on that 7th day? Okay, very good. Now you get it. Don't answer out loud, because I'm not ready to hear a no. You believe your situation can be resolved? and will be by God's grace, by God's power. That's what you're facing. That's what this is about. Now, when you go through this, you've got very human people, just like you, just like me. They've been on this march with Moses, and now they've come really a wandering. Now they've come over the Jordan River, and they're now in Canaan. And the first thing they see is a 30-foot impossibility. So Joshua's given instruction on how to handle, so they can, how to handle that impossibility. So they can get in the city. This is how you do it. Everybody there could understand. And I'm sure Joshua rehearsed it with everyone so they would know precisely what it was God had told him to do. You will notice in verse 9, Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the Ark of the Covenant followed behind them. Okay? So, I made this easy. We have our own priest. I want you to meet him. He's the only horn-blowing priest I've ever known. And he may not look like a priest, but take my word for it. He is. Dressed in black. I don't know why, but that's what he chose. And he's got, hold that thing up. That's called a kudu horn. And it's right out of Israel.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're not sure which ram it was. So we chose a kudu, mainly because he has a kudu horn. This is Brian Lightkowitz. I'm going to change his name to Lightkowitz because he's a Jewish priest, and he is going to be demonstrating the horn. Show us what it sounds like. Step over here, bro. That's it. That's good, bro. Good. All right. How about that? Now, the Hebrews were familiar with that. You've never heard a ram's horn blown before, most likely. Brian goes with us on our trips to Israel, and he's a part of our church family, and he and his family are. And he's learned to play this horn, so I thought while I was preparing, well, I'd get Brian involved in this. And could have gotten even his sons. They play as well. Anyway, Brian's here to be part of this scene. Now, we're going to get to the part where the people shout. Some of you haven't shouted since you were in that Holy Roller church years ago. So you've become kind of sophisticated. And you're sitting there thinking, I'm not going to shout. You can shout, Matilda, but I'm not going to shout. You're going to shout. I'm not going to quit till we all shout. I don't mean, hey... I mean, let her rip. Get her done. That's what you're going to do. You're going to shout when we get to the point of the seventh day. So we've marched around six times. We've all gone back to our camp, and we've all rested. I don't read of anybody having a restless night. Nobody had bad dreams. No one nightmares. No one is worried. No one had prayed special counseling from Joshua. Can we really do this? Is this really going to happen? They believed it. Now, what you want to do is pick up the story, verse 50. Go with me there. Look at it. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn. Were they motivated or what? Was Joshua excited about it? Each day, by the way, if you take the time to read, they got up early. They got up early because they were anticipating what God was going to do. I love that. And so at dawn, they get up and they marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town seven times. That's it. That's the strategy.
Well, we need to hit the proverbial pause button at this critical juncture. As you can tell, there's much more to the story that Chuck will tell us in his own creative way, so please keep listening to Insightful Living. In the meantime, I want to go back to the beginning with the refreshing verse Chuck shared from Isaiah chapter 30. It's encouraging to remember that sometimes waiting is part of God's divine plan. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, "So the Lord must wait for you to come to him, so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help." Well, maybe you're facing an impossible situation right now, and you're waiting on God to help you. Let me point you to a book Chuck wrote that's been helpful to countless readers around the world. It's called What If God Has Other Plans? In his book, Chuck addresses a wide variety of unwanted circumstances, and he explains how God might want us to cope with them. We highly recommend this book to you. Again, it's called What If God Has Other Plans? And you can request a copy today by going to insightfulliving.org.uk, or you can call us on 0800 787 9364. And finally, let me say thanks to all those who've given generously over the summer. Your contributions are truly making a difference. In fact, in recent days, we've received comments from all around the nation. Every single day, Insightful Living reaches all around the country through radio, the internet, and all the other platforms we have available. This is made possible through the voluntary support of friends like you. So, as God prompts you to join the team and help this locally registered charity, we invite you to send your contribution to Insightful Living UK, P.O. Box 553, Dorking, RH49EU, or you can give online. Go to insightfulliving.org.uk. I'm Terry Boyle, inviting you to join us when Chuck Swindoll continues to explain the historic battle at Jericho. Tomorrow on Insightful Living. The preceding message, Impossible Walls Still Tumble Down, was copyrighted in 2022 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.